Hi, I'm Maddie Hockaday, also known as the Anne of this relationship.
And I'm Holly Constant, the Leslie.
We love Parks and Rec. We love behind the scenes.
And we love each other. This is literally the best Parks and Recreation rewatch show.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome back. Hello. Finishing up Ron and Tammy today.
Yes, part two. Hope everyone had a great week.
It flew by.
Yes, it did.
It feels like it was today. Okay, my name is Holly. That's Maddie. I've never done that before, which is really fun for me to do. And the only reason I'm doing it is because we have Sean Trainer here.
Hello.
Ew, podcast voice.
Podcast voice.
Please welcome the incredible John
Bobby Newberg.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Bobby.
Bobby Newberg.
Bobby Newberg.
Okay, now we're just wasting time here.
Okay, Holly, get it together.
Oh, my God. All right, so we left off where Ron and Tammy have slept together. We are at City Hall next morning. Ron comes in with his first red shirt. Amazing. This is what he wears after sex. Yeah. They reference Tiger Woods because that's how Tiger Woods dresses after he wins. Side note, in the commentary, they said that this joke was written like long before the scandals and everything. So like that had nothing to do with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
A little coincidence.
I know. Just a little side note. Also, why did you catch that April's eating cereal?
Yes.
Really?
In like a nice bowl and with a real spoon.
Yeah, it's not like some plastic crap. Their kitchen is either well equipped or she came prepared today.
Right, which is what I didn't expect from the government. Because
do they have a kitchen in the parks?
I don't know, but I mean, I've definitely eaten like in a good bowl at work, but that's because work has that, you know, and it's like a corporate private sector. But I would not
like
expect that from
the Parks Department of Pawnee, Indiana.
And then she's eating from a Frisbee in later episodes. So I'm like, this doesn't track.
Yeah. Well, that's her home, though, with Andy. Mm. So she's living with her parents still, who probably have the proper eating utensils.
Good call. Okay. Yeah. Good call.
This is pre-Andy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. The mood Ron is in is so funny.
Oh, my gosh. He's like dancing around. My God.
Yeah.
He's so excited.
Giving people $20. How much is a Walkman?
Probably more than $20.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the first spotting of the brunette with the breakfast food.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. So it was funny. Last night, me and Sierra were watching that. At the start of this episode, Sierra goes, oh, we've seen it before. She's like, why is there that picture on the wall? And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a couple minutes. So funny.
Yes. Okay, because we had talked about, and we've talked about in season one, how Bobby Knight was on the wall for Ron.
Bobby Knight!
And that had to be removed for legal reasons. They didn't go into further detail, but legal reasons made them remove it. And so they were like looking through all of these like stock pictures of what Ron would like, and they thought about breakfast food, and they found this stock picture of this gal.
Is this the first time we see it?
No.
It's in
looked it up. Okay. It was in Pachytis.
Yeah.
I don't know what the first episode was. I didn't have time to go back to each individual episode.
It was in it, yeah.
But it was, I think it might have started in season two. It did start in season two because season one was Bobby Knight. But yeah, oh my gosh, you guys, I did a really big deep dive and I found this girl.
Is this
going to
be like the chair model?
Yeah, kind of.
She's dead.
No. She's not dead.
Oh, no.
But, okay, I'm just going to read everything to you, and then you can tell me things as you go. I did find her, and I messaged her on Instagram, and she has a band, and she's, like, a rock musician, and I know it's crazy. But anyways, okay, so Mike Schur said that they researched all these things that Ron would like, and this, you know, happened to come up. But this, I found an article from 2017. This is a publication based in Rockford, Illinois. Is that near you or where you grew up at all?
It's in between Peoria and Chicago. We pass it on the way.
Okay. Okay. So this gal's name is Kelly Stewart, and she is from Rockford, Illinois, and she's a model and musician, and she actually is in a band called the Nielsen Trust. The Nielsen Trust, N-I-E-L-S-E-N. If you want to look them up, you totally should. They are coming to Nashville in June.
So, really? Where are they playing?
The Basement East.
Wow.
I know. know. So we might have to go see them. I think they're, I don't know if they're coming to Arizona, but I feel like they're coming to somewhere else near you that I can't remember off the top of my head. But we might have to go see her. So anyways, this woman, she is, you know, a Rockfordian, Rockford, Illinois. But also Nick Offerman is from Illinois as well. So they kind of bonded over that and they started this like tweeting moment. But anyway, okay, so earlier this month, this was in 2017, this is what this article says, Stewart tweeted to Offerman and let him know that she still has the negative and would be happy to send along some autographed copies. And Offerman responded saying he and the rest of the crew from Parks and Rec wanted to hear the origins of the photo. And then he said, give my best to Rockford. So they had a little moment.
Is this her?
Yes, that's her.
Yeah. Damn.
I'll post these pictures.
Oh, nice.
So it's taken about 15 years ago, and Stewart was asked, Kelly Stewart, this gal, was asked to pose in several stock photos that could be used in magazines. So, like, she stood on a scale, she rode a bike, she, like, smiled while wearing a robe. She has one of, like, where she's holding a plate of greasy food, like, everyday typical stock photo type of stuff. And then somehow Mike Scherer found it, and yeah, so Kelly Stewart was like, I have no idea how they got hold of that picture. It's, like, somehow through, like, the stock agency, I guess, and somehow they did. But years later, she got a message from her friend from high school, and they just had a really good laugh about it. Like, she didn't even know that she was gonna be on the show. Like, no one told her, obviously, because like with stock pictures, you just do the gig and like you leave it, you know, you get paid and you're done. But now, and I'll post this picture too, now it's hanging in Nick Offerman's wood shop, like, because he has an actual wood shop in LA. Manuka. Does that sound familiar to you? Manuka, Illinois? It's like a village. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and by village, I mean like a little town as a part of
Chicago. Is that where they make Manuka honey?
Is it?
I don't know.
Maybe. But that's where probably Ron Swanson is from. But anyways, which is so crazy. Town. But I feel like they could have a cameo, I feel, like with her. I want that to happen. But anyways, yeah, so if you want to follow her, her Instagram is KJ Stewart, and her band is the Nielsen Trust. I'll tag all of them. But it does look like they're getting out and, like, playing shows now. Wow. So June 16th is when she's going to be at the Basement. So.
How cool.
It's so cool. I wrote this down. Virginia, Ohio, Nashville, those are the top three. And then, so that's nowhere near you. And I'm really sorry. I'm sure they're going to be, like, on tour. You should follow them, though, so you can go support them.
It's fine. I'm going to go see the Jonas Brothers. It's fine. I'll get over it.
Joe Bros.
Okay, so that's my little spiel on Kelly Stewart is what I meant to say. So, yeah, that's her.
I love when he's like, but today, a naked Tammy made me breakfast.
Right.
Today, I got the real thing.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy. That must be... Yeah, what a crazy thing. You do one thing, and then you just never think of it, and then it's, like, a part of this cultural phenomenon, and then, like, we're talking about it.
Yeah, and there are, like, coffee mugs and t-shirts and stuff that her face is on. She actually posted about it, like, a couple months ago, and I don't know, I think she was raising money for something, but yeah, pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
I know. But anyway, so now I'm at where Mark is asking Tom. Thank you.
That's a very good deep dive.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Love her. I'm going to tag her and she better like message me back. I would love to talk to her. Yeah. I seriously would love to talk to her. But anyway, so do you have anything left on before we get to Mark asking Tom about how to go about this relationship?
Nope. And my first question is, why is Tom the person?
Why is Tom the guy that
you're going to?
I said that out loud when I was watching. I was like, why are you asking?
Because he's like, isn't his first response to like break up with her so I can do her?
Yes, exactly. And then Mark questions it. He's like, why am I asking you? I'm like, that's a question you should have asked yourself 10 minutes
ago.
But
I feel like Mark is just that derpy guy that is just going around like he's so Eeyore and he's just like, what would you do? I mean, he's like,
Eeyore, that is a great comparison.
That is perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like this, though, where he tells Mark to take the high road so he can continue on the low road. Sleazy Tom moment.
Yes, Sleazy Tom, so I can be the one. There's more room for me on the low road.
Sleazy Tom. Oh my gosh, this next line. I don't know if it's my favorite line. It might be. I can't remember. Ugh, I don't know. But that woman knows her way around a penis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Leslie. She is just like, so cringe. Yeah, by she this can't moment. Handle it.
It's like doing peyote and sneezing slowly for 6 hours.
6 hours. She's like, stop. It's like, yeah, it's like this. It takes Tammy for Ron to, like, you know, you can't know his birthday, but right. You can know intimate details.
I know. Oh, my God. And then she says this thing of, like, I can't tell you how many exes of weddings I've been to.
Oh, that was
really, like, heartbreaking.
That's like her, you know, those Michael Scott moments where it's like you see the beauty little child, but then you're like, oh, God, no social awareness. Like,
like, baby, what are you doing, little baby? I have a controversy question. Has anyone been friends with their ex/ do you believe that it's possible?
No. Well, I don't know if I believe it's possible, but it's never happened.
Okay. Do you believe it's possible?
I don't know. In my life, no. But I guess it would really depend on, like, the relationship. If you're in a new relationship, like, the dynamic there, and if they're comfortable. Or maybe situations change. Like, I have friends that they dated for, like, years, and then she came out being gay, and now they're, like, best friends. Mm. So they're, like, best friends. So, yeah, I guess it just, like, depends.
It depends on the situation.
So on that, yeah.
What about you, Maddie?
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the situation. I would say, and I might ask you to cut this part out just because the person's going to know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe you should cut that part out too, because that might be, well, I don't know if they listen to this, but anyhow. No, don't cut it out. I don't care. They're great people.
Yeah. So we were best friends growing up. We met when I was 6 and he was 4. And, you know, you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
Things happen, like, nothing big. Like, we had talked about dating and whatnot.
Yeah,
and we were definitely on the realm of being official, and yeah.
And now, are you friends?
Things happen, and I would say we're friendly when we're with each other at family get-togethers. But we're not. We don't talk like we used to. And to be fair, he has a girlfriend, and I don't know how comfortable she is with the fact that I've known him almost his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his twin, every girlfriend he has hates me because we're best friends.
Well, that sounds like they really don't understand that you can be friends with, like, you know, someone from the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Right. But there's no
romantic tension.
Like, feelings past him being, like, my brother,
mm-hmm.
You know? That line crossed a little bit when we got older. And I think that's why... we don't really talk outside of family functions anymore.
Right.
And that it sucks because I would keep in contact with him because we got along really well. But I think Sean's right. I think it depends on the situation.
Well, it's not very common, but yeah, I mean, sometimes it works, but more likely it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just like such a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it depends on the relationship. You're saying
Well, like you're saying, it depends on the other person's significant other then, too.
Yeah.
Are they comfortable with it?
They're stable enough. Kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I totally agree with that. Yeah, I don't think that, I mean, again, it's not happened in my life, but I do think that if the other person is in, like, a committed, healthy relationship, I think you can totally be friends with your ex. But it really does depend on, like, how comfortable that person is and also how honest you are with yourself of, like, could I eventually see me being attracted to you, like, if I continue this relationship? Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's really interesting to me because I also, just to bring it back, I don't really see Mark – and, like, I know that they were – this is a show, but I don't really see Leslie and Mark as friends. I see them as coworkers. She keeps saying they're friends, but I think they hang out outside of it.
But that kind of goes to, like, Leslie's delusional perspective on a lot of things.
Right. Absolutely. You know? So,
but then, like, Andy and Anne eventually become.
Right. And it's because they're both in committed relationships. Yeah. I feel.
You even forget.
Like, yeah, that they dated. Exactly. I know that is a funny line.
Yeah.
When she, like,
I dated that guy.
Andy has a line eventually too, where she's like, "You know what? I just remembered. We used to go out.
We
lived together for 2 years.
Such a good line.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was just interested to see what you guys thought about that.
Yeah. Are we at the point where they're at the where Anne Is right after this where Anne comes to the shoeshine stand? Or is that, am I jumping ahead?
I think it's a little bit ahead. So the things I have before that is that at 12:40, Ron brings Leslie into his office and he's wearing the quintessential Ron shirt like we talked about. But then also Ron says he's been talking to Tammy about the lot.
Oh, yeah.
And his face when he says what he's going to trade for, like the way he kind of
for
like.
Sex. For sex.
So that's exactly where we are now.
And I love that it's not even them getting back together. It's that they're going to trade. And it's not like he's happy.
Right,
or
right.
He's in a relationship with her.
Exactly.
It's that he is just going to trade her. Like,
and Tammy's totally okay with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't have a soul.
Right. Maddie, do you have anything at that moment? Or what's your next thing?
Everything you guys have said is perfect. I just can't. My whole thing here in this situation, because we're kind of talking about, Leslie has this post-it where she's like, I hate to tell you, I told you so.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote it on a post-it, which that's my spirit animal. I write everything on post-its. Mm-hmm. And she gives it to Donna. And one of my favorite moments is when Donna comes back and she puts the post-it next to Leslie, right? But my question is, did Leslie write backwards on the post-it,
oh my God,
or
Maddie,
did Donna make
a
new post-it?
Note. How did she stick that on the window? Oh. Mm-hmm. Was there tape on the
Maybe
thing?
Maybe she just wrote it on
it didn't
the
look
back
like there was
of
tape.
The post-it note and hit it so the sicky side.
Yeah, but Leslie same... gave it to Donna first.
Oh, you think it's the same one?
It is the same
one. Oh, it is?
So.
Or that's
it's the same handwriting.
To be.
Does she take her hand off of it?
Yeah. She does this thing.
Yes.
Where she slides her finger across where it's sticky.
And what I think about that is that she probably like put some either double-sided tape or something on there.
She is like the office administrator. She has access to all that stuff.
But it made me think of The Office when they do the New Year's resolutions and how they put the card on the poster board. And there's no tape. Really there, like, is the note card already sticky on the back? Is there stickiness already on the
is
poster
there tape
for
on
them
the board? Like, so
exactly so I thought about this very same thing, Maddie.
Things that can drive you insane. Think about them too long.
But I, it's just movie magic. I mean, that's what it is.
I also love in this scene, they I don't know if you noticed this, but they start the scene like on the landmine and then they like fade out. And doesn't the landmine say it says like front towards enemy or something?
Oh,
it said something on the landmine and they like start on that and then go back
and
it's
expand.
And that's like when she walks in and it's very like kind of telling.
No,
you know?
I love that shot. I think it's really cool because it also like brings to light all this other shit that's in Ron's office too. Because like it starts on that and then you zoom out and you see like trophies,
all
and
the
other...
World War II pictures, like planes and stuff.
Yeah,
and...
all this like really wartime stuff that you're just like, oh, this is really. You're also really like wanting to fight.
Yeah.
Or blow stuff up. Also, what is that thing in the corner of Ron's office? That huge, massive thing. It looks like
the
a bulldozer
wood?
Thing.
Oh, I don't know.
It might be the wood thing.
Is it wood? There's some wood.
It's like in the corner and it's massive. It's like a big statue thing. And I don't know what it is. So I'll look that up. But before we get there, also, I wanted to mention, so Tammy and Leslie are walking to the elevator. And I really like this elevator. Did you guys catch this? It's like this old-timey kind of Titanic-looking elevator.
Yeah, I did see that. Very cool.
Well, and I'll tell you, I questioned, why is there an elevator here? This looks like a one-story building for like 3 minutes. And then I was like, there's a fourth floor, Madison, you dumbass.
No.
Of course they have an elevator.
Right?
We've seen it before, like in other episodes later.
Right.
And I was like sitting there the whole time, like, there's not an elevator.
I know.
What is this?
You do forget, though.
Well, and here's my question. Why is she in the elevator? Where is she going? Because they're on the ground floor.
Mm.
Unless there's a courtyard up.
Mm.
Unless they built one up above.
Mm.
Right?
Maybe she's going to the parking garage. Is there a parking garage below?
Why is she going to the parking garage, Holly?
Well,
she works across the street.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good catch, Maddie.
I'm very confused. So maybe I wasn't so stupid to question this.
Exactly. No, I think that you're right. See, this is the deep dives. Okay.
Okay, I found what that big thing is. It's called a Czech hedgehog. It's from World War II. It's a large metal sculpture that's in his office. I wonder what is it, though?
Maybe it's like to throw bombs. That was the stupidest thing I've ever said.
It's a catapult.
Catapult, thank you. Something like that.
Oh, it's like oh, what they use bombs, like though. Oh, it's like in, you know, like on Normandy when they put the things up to barricade the like the boats from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's that.
Okay.
Crazy. Yeah. Why does he have that?
Okay, take a screenshot of that.
I will.
And send it to me. Is that a new phone case?
New phone. New phone. I had to get my phone died yesterday. I had to get a new one.
Oh,
I know.
Wow, like, fancy.
I know.
Cute. Okay. So at 1359, there's a pigeon outside of Leslie's That's office.
It. I'm sorry.
The dog is just...
He's crawling behind the pillows.
He's like, what's behind here? What do I see? What
he likes to go behind pillows and then push them off. We'll like go into the living room and all the pillows are on the floor. He just pushes
them off. Yeah. What you do, good boy? But he's just chilling. Like he's not even sitting. He's just standing there behind the pillow.
It's so funny. He knows we're looking at him.
He's silly boy. That's my dog Hudson Havanese. You can follow him on Instagram.
Yeah. He is on Instagram.
We don't use the Instagram though.
That's okay. He's There's cute. Still a lot of pictures.
He is super cute. Oh my gosh, I can't. I have a weakness for puppies. Ugh. Okay.
I get it. Look, we all do.
I think he and Fenway would get along. Really well. I think Cubby would be a little bit like, no.
Really?
I am in charge of everything.
Yeah. Hudson is very submissive, so he would probably give in super easily.
any
big dog
would,
he's around, he's just like, you're in charge. Yeah, he's a bottom.
Which, look, there has to be one.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Man. So at 1359, there is a pigeon behind Leslie, and there have not been a lot of pigeons lately, and I clocked this so hard because the pigeon was, like, squawking and, like, moving around and using his beak to scratch himself really? Or her, and I was really into it, so.
Huh.
There's that.
Real pigeon.
It's in the courtyard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's been a whole, like... runner in our podcast about the pigeons and if they're fake or not real or
they
whatever.
They must be real.
I think there are some that are real and some that aren't.
Okay.
This one was definitely real.
Okay.
I have a question.
I wonder who's the pigeon herder. Like, what's their job?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is just our job to
to
bring the pigeons and watch them and make sure they're doing their job. My question is, do we think, because it sounds like Tammy really did want the lot, so do we think her plan was to become government gals with Leslie and kind of manipulate her, and then she realized she's too stubborn on this. Mm. I got to go through her to get to Ron. Or do you think her plan the entire time was to get to Ron?
I feel like it's Ron.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Ron. Yeah.
Okay. What do you feel?
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I just kind of sat there for a second, and when the government gals part was happening, I should have asked this when that was happening. Mm-hmm. But
do you think,
I wrote it way later.
Do you think
then I was
Tammy
questioning
got
it.
The job just to do this?
Maybe. Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past her.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
That would be a great spinoff show, just like starting at the beginning of their relationship, or a little like, you know, side moment.
Yeah. Ooh,
just
I
like
could
like
see that.
Like the beginning of the relationship, well, then like it through Tammy's eyes. What's her perspective?
Right. But Tammy also like in this show has been like the library is supposed to be manipulative anyway and terrible.
Yeah.
So this just totally aligns with her values.
Yeah, because it's not just her. It's some of the other librarians they don't like. So yeah.
Right.
That's where things go to die.
Also, I don't know if I'd pick Cleopatra or Eleanor Roosevelt. I just...
Well, it's just so funny because Leslie would clearly...
Right, that's
pick,
true.
You know, right.
It's a clear choice for them.
Well, Cleopatra was also a badass, though.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
Right. You're just seeing the stark differences. I get it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tammy's manipulative smile as the elevator door is closing.
I think I would choose Cleopatra, actually, in that situation.
You are Cleopatra. You know?
Did she do some bad stuff, though? Like,
no, I'm sure.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't know anything about it. Actually, now I'm thinking of it.
They're making a movie.
Really?
Oh.
Go, and then you can decide.
Then we'll decide.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Gal Gadot, so you got to go anyway.
Okay.
Ooh.
I love her.
Me too. I could see her being Cleo.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cute.
She's also a producer on it, so yay woman power.
So good. Okay, so now I've got that Jerry keeps staring into Ron's office as Leslie is talking to him because of the whole, like, you know, I told you so thing. And it really reminded me slash made me think about, like, so Jerry must have, it's kind of the equivalent of Stanley in The Office where, like, you have to be behind the scenes every time because to make it a real, like office, working office, there can't be an extra there. You know what I mean? So that was really fascinating because this is the first time that I noticed that Jerry is like behind them working at his desk every single time that they're having a conversation.
So he must have had, just had to sit there and pretend to work. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Pretty crazy. What's your next note, Maddie?
Agreed. My next note is Leslie going over with Ron to the administrative building. So first of all, I love Leslie. Like, it's just showing her friendship to Ron right now. Also, Ron, no one should have to fight your battles for you, but the fact that she's willing to is awesome. I love that she tells him to just sit there like a potted plant.
I know. That's a great line.
It's so good.
That is a great line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I like that Leslie's saying, now sack up. That's one of my favorite lines, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's, I don't know, the way she's treating him right now is equivalent to how I have to handle some of my kids sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's very childlike.
It's just like, you got to give him the hard, the hard, like, no, your behavior, you are acting a certain way and it is not okay.
Right, right. The tough love. It's always hard because then you're just like, you see people that are like, okay, well, if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to fix it for you because I care so much about you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is wild to have that balance. But anyways.
Well, and it's like just the brilliance and like them making Ron's character this like, it's just like somebody you've never seen before. It's this grizzled guy that, and then you turn this other personality and he's like this like soft child. Like, you know, it's almost like the, why Michael Scott? He's like an idiot, but he's so lovable. It's like, when I feel like if they wouldn't have done that, it would have been a different thing.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't have loved Ron as much.
You wouldn't have empathized with him as much or like wanted him to be good or like fought for him, you know. He had to be on his side a little bit. Also, I did see I did love this little moaning sound that Ron makes at the end. I don't know if you guys caught that.
He's holding
Oh my God, Nick Offerman was incredible. I just can't get over his performance in this.
So good.
Okay. So the Donna thing, too, I do want to let you know. So there was a deleted scene where Donna gets popcorn stuck in the fax machine. And
wait, how?
I don't know. How? And that's what. And so Mark is trying to get it out. Like, this is all dialogue. It doesn't show that, like, how she got it stuck. But, like, when.
Like kernels or, like, the thing you pop?
I think, I don't know. I think she just got like popcorn, like
kernels. Do you
think
she was trying to, like maybe the microwave is broken, so she's trying to heat it up in the fax machine?
Maybe.
Anyhow.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't even imagine how that was started. But like, you know how when Andy comes in, Mark and Donna are together, like leaning over a table?
Yeah.
That's why.
That's what they're doing?
That's what they're
doing. Okay.
And he was like, do you have tongs? And she was like, why would I have tongs? And then he asked the same question, like, why did you do this? Like, how did you get popcorn? And she was like, mind your business. So that's how that started.
Great.
Donna sass.
Donna sass.
Donna, Donna-tude.
Love that. And then she
has
to
love that
choose.
She tells the guys to spin.
I know. Am I making this up? Or does she do that multiple times in the show where she's... She says something about like Andy's butt or something, or like ask people to.
No, I think she does frequently.
I feel like she does
and
that
she
a couple
really
times.
Likes Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
She does like Andy's
hot.
So funny.
Dumb. She says he's something, but he's simple.
Right.
He's dumb, but
simple,
you're simple
or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. In my research, also, you guys, I found that Octavia Spencer auditioned for Donna. Do you know who Octavia Spencer is?
Yeah.
Yeah, in The Help.
Oh,
Not Viola Davis, but the other one. And she was also, if you watch 30 Rock, she was in 30 Rock for a brief moment playing Tracy Jordan's like counterpart female.
She would have been good.
Oh, my God. I mean.
They both probably
I can't picture anybody other than Retta.
Yeah.
But I agree. She probably would have
been
a good job.
It would have been,
I wish they had her on like as Donna's sister or something.
Oh,
that would be so cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But Retta, no one else can be Donna, obviously.
I know. Retta is so, like, she brings that class to Donna where she's just, like, you know, with the Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's just something about how she plays into that, the nails.
Yeah.
It's just so good. I feel like maybe you wouldn't have gotten that. I don't know.
Right.
Just she's so good at that.
There's a bunch of deleted scenes, actually, where she talks about how she's, like, crazy in debt. Like at the beginning,
really,
because they were, she there's a talking head. I can't remember which episode it is, but there's a talking head where she talks about how, yeah, like, how does she has the Mercedes, Mercedes, like, on the Parks and Rec, like, salary. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then now, but obviously she gets out of debt with, like, her whole Seattle moments, but.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, and we find out she's a realtor on the side and stuff too. So she starts picking up other odd jobs.
Well, and then, like, in the snake cheese episode, doesn't she, like, buy some of the
shares?
So she has, like, some money.
So she learns, but as of right now, she's in debt.
Yeah, I can see it.
So funny. Mark is trying really hard to be mature and, like, be friends with Andy. And I could see that. I mean, trying to, like, create a relationship, but Andy's just making it so hard.
Oh, yeah.
You can't.
Such a kid. Well,
I love his line of, like, I love, what is he says something along the lines of, like, I love Anne. I could not have been more clear about that.
Yeah. Pointing to the many pictures he has of Anne.
Gosh. Exactly.
The pictures. Shine Stan.
There's some bad pictures. I love that Anne too.
Oh, there's, yeah. Like, there are some. Right. Yeah. They're not that flattering. No. Yeah. They definitely asked Rashida to go home and pick up
some pictures. They must have.
These are all real pictures. They said that in the commentary. They asked, like, they added, I think, some stuff.
You can
stuff,
definitely tell.
But, like, yeah, these are all very real.
Yeah.
Like the bikini picture.
I love that Anne is, sorry. No. I love that Anne is standing up for Mark, though, because she's like, listen, he's trying to be cool, and you're being a dick, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, and I think we talked about this, right? We haven't really seen Mark coming to her defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that she's coming and she's making note. And I think that gives credit to Mark because he is trying.
Right.
Yeah, he is. You know? Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I see that too.
Not easy with Andy.
He's punching aloud on the high road.
Yes, that is one of my favorite lines in this episode too.
I actually think that is. I capsed it, so I'm pretty positive that's my favorite. I really connected with it for some reason.
Yeah,
there's so many good lines in this episode, though. It's hard to choose.
Yeah, this episode is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very well written. Yeah, I have this note written, but I think we already touched on it, is like, he's so open about talking about his sex life with Tammy, but doesn't talk about anything else, like, in his life.
Right.
You know, we kind of touched on
that
already.
I feel like once the floodgates open, it's like, okay, well, I'm already here. I need to talk about it in, like, exquisite detail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, you can't hide it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Also, I just think this is so beautiful between Ron and Leslie. I mean, that she puts his needs above hers. And this whole thing of, like, creating this thing where, like, they really, this is the first one that we see where they have such opposite, like, diametrically opposed ideas about what the government is and about, like, what your values are. But, like, the one thing they can agree on is that they respect each other.
Yeah.
And the respect runs so deep. It's not just, like, you know, a corporate respect. It's like, I want to respect your life too. And, like, your healthiness and your happiness. And it's just so beautiful to see that.
Yeah, it's like, again, it's like one of those backbone moments of the show. And almost like, not spoiler alert, so, but like in the end when they have their feud, like, it feels so disconnected, like, until that, it's like, you know, it really is one of the major relationships, if not the major relationship of the show.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. Yeah. I think if we didn't have that relationship, it just wouldn't be the same show at all.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Am I the only person that internally said foes when Holly said
Hamilton.
Diametrically opposed?
Oh,
diametrically opposed. Foes.
Foes.
Yes, awesome. Queen.
My whole brain wanted to say it, and I was like, don't interrupt her, bitch.
Oh, my God. I had a little pause moment. I don't know, if, like, in my head, my pauses are really, really long, but I'm sure that for you guys, you're like,
they're
you
not that
pause. I was thinking foes.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Good.
So good.
That's great.
Oh,
I have a question on Andy.
Mm-hmm.
His apron is dirty.
Right.
And I don't think we've seen him shine anyone's shoes. So he either took Gus's old apron, which I don't think so, because Gus was tiny compared to Andy.
Right.
Like, did he just take oil on it and stuff to make it look like he was well worked or something?
I could see Andy, like, just, like, making a mistake, doing something, or, like, pouring
or spilling
oil,
somehow.
Like, spilling, yeah. Like, I feel like he's such a baby. That,
or he, like,
used
his hands instead of a rag to, like, just shine somebody's shoes, and then he has to wipe it off on his apron or something.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, you're right. For the first
funny.
Day, that's that's a good catch.
It's pretty dirty. Yeah.
I also like, we kind of skipped over it, but I really like Ron's line of, if I'm not down in 5 minutes, it's because I'm receiving a pleasure. So intense.
So intense.
And she's like,
Oh my gosh.
He comes out with a thumbtack in his head.
Oh my God. That is insane. And like the folder is ripped and everything. I really like too that Leslie's like messing with the letters on the sign outside.
Yeah, she's moving them up.
I agree.
She's like making things misspelled and everything. There's a pushpin in your face. My legs are shorter than yours. Oh, that's so good. Funny. The idea of having a pushpin in your head. I mean, I think that was was Mike Scully, the writer of this one, is what they said in the commentary anyways. But like, my God, where does that idea come from?
Yeah.
So good.
And his hair. And then when you're sitting in
his
the
mustache is ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I noticed that one in the closing, in the tag. When they're sitting in his office, there's like a little triangle of his mustache missing or messed up or whatever.
So my question is like, because Leslie leaves and thinks that she's going to lose. Like, my question is, so did they like start to like do it again? And then, because you know how in Ron and Tammy 2, he's like, my mustache rubbed off because of friction. And then did things obviously must have turned.
Right.
But like, what was his intentions? And then how did he
get out of that
ooh, without Leslie?
He
must have just realized because he kind of says, well, Leslie, like, your kindness like showed me
so maybe. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know, the way that I took it was like after he had that conversation with Leslie in the hallway, he goes back in and he like starts saying, you know, I can't do this or I can't sign this, tries to get the paper back, and then she starts like throwing stuff, more of like
the stuff
at the end of diner or whatever, where it's like more of like, I'm gonna like physically harm you now.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I do like the idea of them like intertwining sex.
I'm
with,
sure it
like,
was something
with like, violence.
I love this the line Tammy's, she's like, you're gonna wrap around me like a coiled snake.
Yeah. Oh, coiled snake. Yeah,
the way she says that too, her line reading is so good on that coiled snake. It's so punctuated.
Mm-hmm. She's so crazy.
Oh, I love Megan Mullally so much. She's insane.
Me too.
So good. Okay, well now I'm at the tag.
What is the tag?
And my only line was the mustache being all messed up. So,
well, so the tag is when he's taking down the picture of the brunette picture food.
Oh, yeah.
And he replaces it with just breakfast food. So now the reign of the brunette with the food is gone. They called it an exorcism on the commentary, which I thought was really funny. But I do love this tag too, like as far as it being really cute with wrapping up like Ron and Leslie's relationship, as far as like he's trying to not say things, like he's getting out of saying things that are bad about the library, about Tammy. Like he almost can't muster up like, you know, what bad thing to say, and she's like, come on Ron, you can do better than that. And then he says, mm-hmm. she's a bitch, and it's just like so nice to have Leslie like fight for Ron
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
It's a good
and to
moment.
Like bring him back to his self,
Ron self, yeah.
And yeah, it's just really beautiful. I love that. And that really reminds me of that line that says, like, name one person here that you haven't put like yourself in front of or whatever, in the later seasons when she's running for the government. So
yeah
what a great episode.
What a great episode.
It's fantastic. And I'm glad that this is not the end of Ron and Tammy. We get a lot more throughout series.
Yeah.
It just gets crazier.
So true. Well, Maddie, do you have anything else to add?
I don't. Those are my final notes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that was Ron and Tammy. I can't believe it. Okay. Again, if you haven't rated, reviewed, subscribed, all the bullshit that you need to do, go ahead
and write a review. If you're listening to this, write a review. It really helps. And like, they deserve a review.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate that.
Only a good one.
Right. If it's anything less than 4 stars, I don't need it.
We don't need your negative attitudes.
But yes, those reviews do help us as far as the algorithm goes, like making us a little bit more prominent and searchable and things like that. And again, follow us on Instagram, Park Pals Podcast. And then, Sean, what are your socials again?
Oh, it's just Sean Trainer Music and then Southern Call Music.
Yay. We should also have a shout out for Sierra. Sierra and Sean have a lovely band together called Southern Call Music. Yeah. She is the Sierra
my
part
wife.
Of it.
Yeah. My wife.
My wife. Yes, it's really amazing. So if you're not following Sean, do it immediately. We can wait for you. Pause the thing right now. Go do it.
And we're back.
And welcome back.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Well, Maddie, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm just really jealous you guys get to be in the same place.
I know.
I know. It feels really wild.
Is this the first time you've done a podcast with...
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, all of the podcasts have been...
Maybe one day, you know, you'll come and we can do one together.
We've definitely talked about, like, having a moment when... Or we got to plan it, but it would be amazing. This whole time, for the listener, we've been doing it Zoom. Like, no one has been in the same room together. Like, even when we've had guests or, like, my sister, we've all been in separate rooms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. I know. We're in a real live studio today.
I know. It feels good.
Maddie, you are too, in spirit. It is interesting to, like, switch it up. You get in such a different, like, headspace or mind space or whatnot, you know, when you're in a different area. Which is good.
We'll have to plan the next time we do a Ron Tammy episode that I'm in Nashville.
Yeah.
You should. And then we'll have a treat yourself moment.
Oh my gosh. Yes. If you're following me, Holly X Constant, go follow me and watch our.
Holly was wonderful and gave me a little. My birthday was in April and she gave me a treat yourself moment and it was wonderful.
Magical.
And we're going to plan them on the reg.
On the reg. We made a TikTok video of us going viral. To all the places.
Could have. It's one of those that could have.
It really could have. I truly think it's a masterpiece. I'm, like, totally unbiased. I would watch that.
A lot of people have told me, like, they've watched it many times.
Okay. So yeah.
They could be lying.
No, that's the thing.
It was my mom.
Social, right. Mine too. That's the thing with social media and with podcasts too. It's like you don't really have, like, a gauge of what is actually successful because it doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean?
What does anything mean?
I don't know. But do you want to have a mini therapy session, Maddie, or what do you feel?
You can do that if you want.
I don't care.
I don't think I have anything other than the things I already divulged, that little crisis call situation, which I don't know if confidentiality-wise I should be talking about anyway.
Yeah, maybe you should release that.
Yeah.
What about you, Holly?
I won't put that. I've been thinking about work a lot and still thinking about, I did say no to a theater thing.
I said no to something this week.
Really?
That I was really proud of myself too.
But yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
I mean, and this was something that happened before COVID and then we took a pause and now they have dates. And if I'm being completely honest.
Is this the hairspray thing?
Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mamma Mia. Okay.
And if I'm being completely honest, my whole heart wasn't in it at the beginning. I think it's a great cast. I think it's a great show. It's not my most favorite show, but I do like it. But at the beginning, I was like, I don't have anything else really on my plate at this time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I have, like, other dates going, which is honest. I told them I have other dates in my head. But, like, if I'm being also transparent, I probably could have moved some of those dates around, but it would have been really stressful. And so it just felt weird to, like, say no to something that I love so much, but, like, my whole heart wasn't in. And also, like, you think of it as an opportunity. Yeah.
But
like, that
I
you
think,
missed.
Yeah, but there is a definite, this is something I've been learning. There is a definite power in no. I mean, it's almost like validating yourself that you're either worth more or your time's more valuable. I had a very similar experience where somebody reached out to me and wanted me to do something. And it was an old boss of mine that I had worked for right when I got to Nashville. And it was a really shitty job. And like, they were really manipulative. And I hadn't heard from these people in years. Like, 4 years. And she called me and it was something like, you know, it could be this much money, but it might not be. And she was really, she was like kind of using like a sympathy card, which I just knew that like she's done before. So I was like, I know she's doing this. And then, it was like, you know, and one of the situations, like no, even like, hey, how are you? Like, I haven't talked to you in 4 years and I'm basically doing you a favor. And I was I'm always in that mindset of like, well, I should never turn down an opportunity because one, you know, you just never know.
Especially as musicians and actors, like,
you have to take everything. You're trained to say yes. But as soon as I had so much anxiety about it for like 2 days, and it wasn't even something that should cause anxiety.
I know.
And I said no, and it was like a relief, and it's like you taking the power into your own hands, and it's like, you know, it's good.
I know.
So I'm proud of you for doing that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm proud of both of you because God has to make that decision for me a lot because I'm really bad at it. I want to learn from you guys.
It's tough.
I mean,
I feel like I'm just learning.
I think it's like a constant, honestly, just a constant reminder to do what serves you and like see, like zoom yeah. out a little bit, not only what mm-hmm. serves you, but like what's going to serve your future self as well. And I could yeah. just tell that I would have been way more stressed. And if I'm being honest too, like it wasn't paid, but like I didn't love it enough to not be paid for it, yeah. if I was honest. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that part is weird. But yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. It just, it's a hard lesson to learn, because I also have been learning too that I don't like to squeeze things in. I don't like feeling squeezed in. And I've talked about that a lot on the podcast. Like someone else is squeezing me in or I'm squeezing them in. It just like I used to be really good at multitasking, and now I just really like to focus on one thing. And obviously there are things that you have to multitask at, but yeah. I mean, like if you can, I mean, like Ron says, better to whole ass one thing than half-ass a bunch of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My brother got me that mug for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
He says that.
Yeah. So there's that. Also, another thing that I was reading and that I think would be interesting to share is that, or not reading, it was on this podcast, Busy Phillips' podcast called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. It's so good. Jessica St. Clair was on it, and she plays the one who comes into Ron's office and plays the mom of the guy, of the kid that of Ron's eating her sandwich or whatever in City Hall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's a comedian. She has her own podcast as well, but she was talking about how in nature, when zebras, it's like the zebra theory or something catchy or flashy name for it. But anyway, when zebras escape being caught, escaping like food for someone, like they are the predator or whatever, they're the prey rather. When they escape that, they go off and they like have convulsions and what looks like a seizure, because it's like the cortisol is being released, the stress cortisol. Mm. Wow. And like the equivalent of that for a human would be like crying or like actually having like an anxiety attack. Kind of thing. Wow. But especially crying, like if, and so it was just a good reminder to me, like your body not only like mentally has to do that, but it has to physically release the chemicals of crazy. Stress in order to heal.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's been a lot of, and we've talked about this, Maddie, where like there's a lot of situations where, you know, you don't cry because you're just like, you know, we're taught everything's going to be fine. If this isn't a big deal, like you don't need to like cry over spilled milk. Like that's literally been in our DNA for such a long time. But like in order to get past that, to heal from anything you're going through, you have to release it somehow. And so I find that that's really interesting. The problem is, how do you release it? Because if you're not a crier, then like you've got to work on that, or boxing or whatever your outlet is, yeah. you know? So that's really mm-hmm. fascinating to me. Like, I always like combining the physical with the mental.
Yeah. yeah. And when you think it's like, you know, there must be a negative effect if you don't, you know, right. if you're not releasing it, you know?
Yeah. Then it manifests in other ways.
It must manifest.
Like, that's how ulcers come about.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, your heart rate speeds up, which is a lot of people high blood pressure and, you know, things yeah. like that. Is all about stress. So stress just manifests its way or itself in such physical ways that I knew that before, but to hear that about a zebra, like literally having a seizure yeah. after they escape their stress, like anxiety attack moment
yeah. mm-hmm.
from almost yeah. dying, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't think our brain, like, I don't think, I wonder if humans have like caught up evolutionary wise, like to know that some of the little things aren't, like we're gonna die, you know what I mean? Like I feel like everything yeah. feels like we are going to die, because that's like how our evolution has trained us to find. Like our little turtle brains are like, you know, this is life or death. We've been in fight and flight this last year and a half, or truly, I guess 4 years with the office of president. but like we've
presidente.
Been El Presidente. So like to be in both fight and flight at the same time, like if you're not releasing that or talking about it or whatever, like it's fatal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
So sorry to end it on a death note.
Well, no. Well oh, not maybe to pump it up. No, but well, I do think it's definitely, and I've seen this a lot in like some older people, like, you know, the generation or two before us. Like, it's just, you know, so uncommon for, you know, any of them to talk about any mm-hmm. of this stuff, deal with stress in any mm-hmm. type of healthy way. At least now we're talking about it and there's like ways to cope with mm-hmm. it, or at least we're aware of it. So like maybe we can try to handle it in a better way mm-hmm. and be more try healthy and more conscious of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's so true. That's such a generational thing. Nobody is really Nobody. Told to do it.
Yeah.
Or talk about it. It doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else to add, Maddie? Do you need anything else to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me on. This was so much fun. Yeah, I want to do it again.
Oh, you will be.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you again.
You'll be a recurring character.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Let us know if you have any questions. Rate, review, subscribe, all that bullshit. And
like that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe button. Smash those stars. Which people don't know, but all you got to do is scroll down to the bottom of the show page. So I didn't really know that until I started listening to podcasts more.
To
get to the reviews and all that stuff. So either way, if not, thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you, Sean, for being on and for letting me use your studio. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
There's a Parkinson's Pals, and there's also therapy, too.